Given me joy and thanks in the Lord. Joy and thanks in the Lord. See, God hasn't saved us for our walk with Him to be a drudge. And you know, we need to be reminded of this. You see, our trials, and the devil likes to use our trials in which to bring us down to accuse God that He's not faithful. And he's very clever and very subtle how he works this. But as we're going to look in the scriptures, that God hasn't saved us for that. God has actually saved us not only for fellowship, to worship Him, but also to enjoy Him. Amen. Because you see, fellowship, relationship, is about also enjoyment. And our relationship with each other as brothers and sisters is also to be enjoyed. Even though in the natural we probably wouldn't choose one another in ourselves. But you see, the Holy Spirit never makes a mistake. And as I keep telling you, you need to learn this one and get this one right. To be blessed, to enjoy one another, and to enjoy fellowship. But the simple reason is because you need to look at one another and ask yourself this question. Do I want to spend eternity with the person I'm looking at or sit next to in church? Because that's what you're going to do. And if you've got a problem, you better get it right now. Because you don't want to take that into eternity with you. Well, you won't make it into eternity. You see, we can only love one another through Christ Jesus, by the Spirit, by the unity and oneness that God is working, building in the body. And so this wonderful fellowship, friendship, comradeship, you call it what you like, is also to be enjoyed. And I'm going to ask you a question today. Do you enjoy not only the body of Christ, but do you enjoy the presence of your brother and sister? Or do you just still major on the weaknesses? Or why is it they're not like me? Well, maybe thank God they're not like you or me. That is what makes it so interesting. That was Professor Higgins' problem. He said, why can't a woman be more like a man? For those of you who know the story. In other words, why can't they all be like me? Then it wouldn't be a problem. But life ain't like that. And God is diverse. We are diverse. And we come from different backgrounds, different characters, different personalities, but we have all one thing in common, and that is that Christ is in us, and Christ loves us, and we love him, and he's molding and perfecting each one of us in his image and likeness. That is the mystery, the unity and the oneness that we have in him and that we have in each other. And so God wants us to enjoy his presence, to give thanks for what he's done and is doing, and likewise that's to be expressed amongst each other, each of us. So that when God adds to this church, they come in and find a happy people, a joyful people, a people who enjoy one another, enjoy fellowship. Why? Because it's infectious. Love is infectious. Laughing is infectious. I remember going up to London some years back, and there was two people talking on the carriage, and the carriage was full, and they just started laughing. And they laughed and laughed. And before you know where you were, all around in the carriage there, going up to London, we're all laughing. Don't know why. It was just infectious. You know? And if we weren't laughing, we were laughing at one another's laugh. Because we want to listen to some laughs. They're really funny. It's infectious. How much more through the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. Joy and thanks in the Lord. That's what we're talking about this morning. I want us to turn to Matthew 11, 25 to 30. And I know you know this very well, but I think this is very apt in conjunction with what we're talking about this morning. In Matthew 11, verses 25 to 30. At the time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise, the prudent, and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why is it we get it wrong? Who is it that tells us that this God that we worship and follow is hard, brutal, unloving, tight, mean? Need I go on? He is the accuser of the brethren and tries to pervert your minds and heart and thinking. And where does he do it so much? It's through the trials. But God, Jesus already said this. He said, I thank you, Father. You've not revealed my love, my kindness, my gratitude, joy, everything that is about me. He says, you haven't revealed this to the wise, to the prudent, but you revealed it to babes. And even as they desire to see the Father, when they see the Father, they see me. And when they see me, they see the Father. And with that revelation and calling, he reveals to us, then come to me if you labor, and you're heavy, and you're burdened, and you're brought down by sin and what it's done. Find rest. He says, take this yoke on you. Learn from me. How can we learn from God? How can we learn? Because this is how we learn, because he says, I am gentle, I am lowly in heart, I am merciful, I am gracious, and you will find rest for your souls. That is how he's come to you and me. Who's telling us different? That's the question I raise. And if you don't understand that, then you will never understand the joy and the presence of the Lord. You'll never understand what it is to worship Him and to be blessed in worship and praise and lifting those holy hands in His presence. We should enjoy His Spirit and presence in our life and in the meetings. You see, His blessings are to give us joy and pleasure in Him. And so as you acknowledge Him in this way, God will bless you. Many people in the house of God are in poverty, are not experiencing God's provisions and blessings because they have a wrong, perverted view of Him. They let the devil rob them. And so because they can't appreciate Him, therefore how can God really give to you? You see, brothers and sisters, you still really only give and are generous to those who acknowledge it. Most good parents should bring their children up to be appreciative when aunts, uncles, or whoever it is gives them something that they should acknowledge back in thanks or gratitude or a card or a note or a phone call or whatever it is. Why do we do that? If we do that amongst ourselves, well, we've been taught to do that. How much more with God? How much more? God acknowledges that thanks from us. Do we thank Him? Do we praise Him for what He's done, what He's doing, His provisions? So often God was trying to teach the children of Israel that their battles would be won by praising Him and thanking Him even beforehand, before they were actually going in to implement that battle. And it's exactly the same for us. I'm constantly now, and I thank God, I'm saying, thank you, Lord, for the victory. It's already won. We're the only people who walk on planet Earth who already go into a situation knowing the battle is won. The rest of the world are blinded to it. But we should know that. And that is what God ultimately is trying to get out of us. But all the while you're brought down to the world's level, you'll do exactly the same, just like the armies did against Goliath and the Philistines. Every time they appeared and Goliath appeared, they ran away in fear. And a lot of the church still does that. And we do it. And you know what the problem was? They had not learnt to praise God. They had not learned to be thankful, to praise Him, to enjoy His presence. Because when you enjoy God's presence, you enjoy your brothers and sisters. Those that are hostile and cold toward brothers or sisters have not experienced God's presence, because they wouldn't act like that. And so Jesus says, come to me. I am gentle, I am lowly in heart, I am merciful and gracious. Yes, I correct you and will correct you. A loving father does that. But even that's done in great love and mercy. That's how He comes to us. And that's why these blessings are to give us joy and pleasure in Him. God knows human nature, and so He knows that by blessing us even in this life, this encourages us, stimulates us to even give Him more praise and thanks. Some are worn out, tired, exhausted in trying to praise God and be thankful in His presence. Do you know why that is? Because it becomes a vicious circle. By them not doing that, Hence, they don't break through, and hence blessing, material blessing, to survive, to live, is no longer there. And so then the anger, resentment starts to come in, doing exactly what the devil wants. Ecclesiastes has much to say about this. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verses 18-20. Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verses 18-20. Here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink, to enjoy the good of his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him, for it is his heritage. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he will not dwell unduly unto the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. There you go. God wants to bless you. And he says it's a joy. He says it is good, fitting for one to eat, drink, to enjoy the good of his labour in which he toils. Oh yes, but I haven't got any money, and I don't know whether we can buy any drink. I don't know whether, you know, we can get food on our table or whatever. Well, something's wrong. Because it's not what it says here. To eat, drink, to enjoy the good of his labour to which he toils under the sun all the days of his life. Yes, he toils. Yes, blessings are there. Sometimes the devil tries to stop those blessings. Yes, there's overcoming. There's the toil side of it. But God says he'll give. God gives to him. For it is what? His heritage. It means that God's blessings and provisions are your heritage. In other words, it's your right. Under the law of God, it is your right. In Jesus Christ. All the promises of God, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, is your heritage. It is my right in Christ, what he has wrought for me at Calvary. As for every man to whom God gives riches and wealth, who gives it? God. And gives him power to eat of it. So your riches, your wealth, your prosperity comes by the power of God, not your efforts. It comes by his grace and mercy. To receive the heritage and rejoice in his labour, this is the gift of God. It's all a gift of God. And so as God gives those gifts to encourage us, which is what a lot of it is, so it should work with us that joy and thanks and praise. Talk louder. Boy. Apparently I'm not shouting enough. Right, I hope they can hear better now. And right, praise God. So there is our heritage. And God shows it's good. And he keeps us busy with the joy of his heart. Yes. That's what he gets us to do. Because out of all of that, we can praise and worship and thank him. Because we're fruitful. Our labours, our walk, our consecration, our meeting together, our overcoming, our enduring by faith is seen. It's not all abstract. Just spiritual. It's seen, you see. Let's compare that with 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to what?
Enjoy.
Thank you. Somebody's given me the answer. Riches to enjoy. Why do you enjoy them? Because God has given them. That is where your joy comes. It's not come because you've toiled, you've labored, you've done it. That's a worldly joy. No, it's because God has given this to us. And that is why the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
See, God shares in our labors because it's from Him. He's working in us both to will and do for His good pleasure. So as we labour, as we press in, as we wait for the promises, that's Him working it through us. So that we become a grateful, thankful people. He's put it in us in the first place. Because that is where He gets glorified. Back to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 24. Ecclesiastes 2 and 24. Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labour. This also I saw was from the hand of God. So here we are, Solomon looked, observed. He said there's nothing better. Nothing better for a man than he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy his good labour. So what he's saying is, where work is concerned, where provision is concerned, nothing is better for man than to do that. Why? Because it comes from God. Of course, the best thing is God. But in the provision of God, that is the best thing for man. Because man was created and made to work. Unfortunately, the fall, now we use the word labour. But God still blesses. He's still going to work through a fallen world. Because all your toil, your labour, your work is in a fallen world. But God will conquer, He'll work through that. To bless you in time. What does it say in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 13? And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labour. It is the gift of God. Again, he repeats it. Your blessings are a gift from God. And thank Him for it. That is what he's saying here. You see, by working and being spiritually active is important because faith is active. As it says in the same chapter, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 22, "So I perceive that nothing is better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his heritage. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him?" So there we are. It is his heritage. Why am I saying this? Because faith is active. And all this is appropriated by faith as we believe. So that you become fruitful by faith. And your faith reveals, it shows your labours. That is why you see when you work, or whether you work with your employment, whether you work at home, whether you work in the kitchen, whatever you do it by faith. Because this is your heritage. This is what faith should do. Faith should be fruitful. Faith should be active. Faith is very much part of us being active, living in this fallen world as sojourners until God takes us home. And that's what creates and works joy and thanks in the Lord. A church that praises and worships the Lord, that raises the roof off is a people who is thanking the Lord and acknowledging God's blessings. Because Satan doesn't want you to do that. He doesn't want you to acknowledge that, because he wants to be the God of this world, and he wants you to acknowledge his so-called blessings, which are only temporal and all have conditions to them. God gives freely. Freely receive, freely give. That is what he says. So by working, being busy, spiritually active, is all part of our faith working, being fruitful. And that is why, you see, we have to keep with the positive and the promises of God to experience this joy and thanks. This is why we always stay with those promises. Even though the devil tries to rob us of those promises, even though he tries to say that God isn't faithful, but those promises are there. It's just that we're not very good at waiting. But just carry on. We're all of us waiting for manifestations. We're all of us waiting for that which we have received, which God has given to us. But we carry on with our everyday living. We carry on working, laboring, doing what we do, waiting upon the promises of God. Not keep asking him. You only need to ask him once. He's not deaf. And the rest, all you need to do then is just praise and thank him. It's on the way. It's on the way. Just like a letter that's been sent. Somebody said, I've sent it to you. And you go each day when you hear a noise at the letterbox. Has it come yet? Is it here? That's how it is. When we have received from God, that's being active. That is an active faith. That is acknowledging and thanking God. We have received in Jesus' name. We have the victory in Jesus' name. I thank you that my rebellious son is saved in Jesus' name. Even though he outwardly has gone even worse. We thank him. We praise him. Same for our healing, our deliverance, that job we're believing for, or that house we're believing for, or that new car, all the practical things that, yes, we need in this life. Food on our table. Bless others as well. I want to prosper, Lord, so that I can bless others and those who are not in that place to be able to be to bless. I want to be able to bless them also. I believe that's the epitome of prosperity. When you have grasped in God's heart that you desire to prosper and bless those who can't pay back in any way, I think you are beginning to arrive with what prosperity is about. But all the while, self is still there, and what I can get out of it, you haven't yet fully seen what true prosperity really is. The widow with her mite, she had learned that. What she had got, she had given all to God. And so, you see, we're on this journey, aren't we? But even with that challenging comment that God has just said, our faith can say, well, Lord, I've still got a way to go, but I'm embracing that and thanking you, Father. You will work that in me. You know, often when I'm sitting in the, and I have the privilege of being able to sit back like you and listen to the word ministered, and you need to be a minister, preacher, to appreciate that, when you can have it ministered to you. You know, often I hear something that comes out, and I hear that, and I'm offering up a prayer right there in my seat. Father, I've just listened to that. Make that real in my life for your glory. Because I know even by writing it down, or the time I get back, the time I've done what I have to do, and then get in my closet, you've missed it. You've forgotten it. That's how you grow. Overcomers grow by when they hear the word, and it comes out and something speaks right into your spirit. You're talking to God right there and then. and say, Lord, I'm receiving that. I'm taking that on board. And whatever it takes, work that now for your glory. You don't have to go to God anymore and keep repeating that. Just thank him, he's heard you. Hallelujah. You know, when we're under the anointing, as brothers and sisters with Christ's head, when we come as believers under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's an anointing present, there's a power present that's not the same when you're on your own. And I take full use of that. Because if God ain't going to hear me there, in church, under this, well, he's not going to hear me anywhere else. That is how you grow in God. You see, our salvation isn't to be a drudge or a labor. Because the world is passing away. Even though we may enjoy its fruits. Why not enjoy its fruits even though it's passing away? We can get a principle out of that. Many times when the children of Israel were to go in and destroy the enemy, sometimes they were to take the fruit of the land. Not always, because God was testing them with obedience. But many times they were. They were to take the fruit of the land. In other words, they were to take back what had been robbed from them. Because the Philistines and all the enemies around were nothing there but to rob, to take from Israel. And God wanted to bless. Well, are not the overcomers to be blessed in this life? Indeed they are. So even though the world is passing away, which it is, God is going to give you the fruit of this world. Because this world gives fruit. Gives food. And you need food to live. It gives money. Because you need money to buy and to pay bills. So this world gives fruit. And God says, that fruit, if you acknowledge and thank me and praise me, I'll give what the world is giving, even though it's fallen, I'll give it to you. I'll give you the spoil. There's the divine principle in operation. The old enemy, the God of this world, is going to have to give it over to the overcomers. To keep them fruitful, to keep them blessed, to keep them alive, to keep clothes on their back. To give them a car so they can get to church and so on. Can't you see how it works now spiritually? I do. Surely I can't be the only one. That's why it's joy and thanks to the Lord. And then you give it back to him. Everything that he blesses you, you give it back and you place it on the altar because you're on the altar. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Everything that God gives back goes straight back on the altar. Because your life should be on the altar. Giving God all the praise and all the glory goes back to him. It's like a circle. It rotates, goes round and round all the time. What Satan wants to do is to unbreak that connection. Hallelujah. So keep positive, brothers and sisters. Keep positive with the promises. Enjoy him, enjoy his presence, enjoy fellowship with him because he does with you. God takes joy and pleasure. We're told when a saint is born again, comes into the kingdom, we're even told that angels rejoice. God takes joy over you, pleasure. Now give it back to him. This walk should not be a drudge. Coming to meetings, to church, shouldn't be a drudge. Anything but. And as we see one another, we see Christ in each other. That unity and oneness of the Spirit. And enjoy your brother and sister. Because you can. We are God's family. We're going to be together in eternity. And this is why we need to get it right now in the body of Christ. because you're going to be with your brother and sister in eternity, and we need to start getting on now. And yet how the enemy tries to put wedges in, tries to keep the body of Christ divided, whether through doctrine, through personality clashes, or you name it. He's ever busy, isn't he? But you see, that is why the cross is presented. And that is why we take up that cross, our cross, daily, and follow him, because the cross will deal with all those things. Because if you're hanging up there spiritually, there's nothing you can do. You're there, exposed to the world, as Christ was. And so you see, that is what the cross is ultimately doing. It's so that we decrease, that he increases. It is dealing with the self-life, that selfish life, that selfish attitude that wants its own way, that is critical, that is divisive, that is judgmental, that says lies, and so on. That is what Christ is putting to death in us daily as we take up our cross and follow him. Don't you try it, the Holy Spirit will do it. You say to me, how do you know? Your trials will show you. Trials show us where we are. And that is what sorts out the men from the boys. But praise God, the baptism of the Spirit has come to do that work. It's come for Christ to take over, because you can't do it. Man has tried. You can't love your enemy. You cannot in yourself turn the other cheek unless you are dying daily and Christ is in you, the hope of glory. You cannot do it in your own strength. Yet Christians still try to do it. You never will. I probably, as a pastor, have found in counselling over the years, where I have heard so many times in counselling, I have tried, Pastor. I have tried to love my husband, my mother. I have tried to overcome this. I have tried. I have tried. There's the failure. I have. I's got to go. I has got to die. I has got to be put on the cross, on the altar, to be dealt with. But the life that I have in Christ, Christ's life in me, can overcome. And that is our faith. That is what we hold on to. That is the joy of our salvation. That greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Father, we thank you today. Thank you, Father, you have again spoken into our hearts. You have revealed, exposed the weaknesses. Why it is we fail, we fall. But Lord, you are so gracious, merciful, long-suffering with us. Father, we will get it right for your glory. But it won't be in our own strength. It'll be in the power and strength of Almighty God. And Lord, we want to enjoy your presence. We want to know that joy, that we also are a joy to you, and that there is joy in the house of God. Father, this walk should not be a drudge. I must go to church today. I must do my duty, and so on. Father, you cannot accept that. That is not what salvation is about. It's not trying, but being in your presence. That is what we're saved for. And so, Lord, I thank you today. I thank you for your presence, for the Holy Spirit who's led and anointed and taught us today. Father, I pray your blessing upon all brothers and sisters who come into the room. Be with them, preserve and keep them by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Father, for this sweet fellowship that we've had with you and with each other. In Jesus' name. Setting all the captives free.
let it flow through me. Oh, let it flow through me. Let the mighty love of God flow out through me. Oh, let it flow through me. Yes, let it flow through me. Let the mighty love of God flow out through me. Peace. Peace is flowing like a river, flowing out through you and me, spreading out into the desert, setting all the captives free. Oh, let it flow through me, yes, let it flow through me. Let the mighty peace of God flow out through me. Oh, let it flow through me. Yes, let it flow through me. Let the mighty peace of God flow out. Joy is flowing. Joy is flowing like a
sea. So I worship.